and then the only way to fill the void was to drink. He started at night, taking a few shots of vodka, then more shots, and then he started secret sipping during the day. And, of course, everyone knew it. Grady was the last to know. The first time Callahan called him in, he told Grady to get counseling, which was available through the NYPD free to members of the force. It was a good program, and Grady plunged into it and was able to stop cold turkey for a while. But then he started to sip again at night, just enough to get him to sleep, and then some more to get him through the day, and then just around the clock. The second meeting with Iron Balls, the last warning one, had indeed scared him, and it kept him away from the vodka for a couple of weeks. But in the end, it was the night that won, and he started again. When Callahan called him in the third time, Grady knew it was over, and he was ready. The meeting was for 2 o'clock. Starting at 9 o'clock that morning, a Tuesday in late April, Grady consumed a fifth of vodka. By around 1 o'clock, he was joking to himself that you could tell him his behind was on fire and he wouldn't care. And he knew what he was going to do. Go for 35 years in, whether Callahan put him in the street or not. He had only 5 months to go. Yes, with a nip here and there and a prayer here and there, he could make it. Promptly at 2, Grady went in and stood before Callahan's desk. It was during confrontations like these that Callahan earned his nickname. "When he's really enjoying himself," someone once said, "you can actually hear his balls clicking together." "You've got 2 choices, Callahan said. "Retire or be transferred to street duty." Retirement, Grady thought. That was a new alternative. "I can't retire," Grady said, feeling as calm as a lake and sharp as a tack. "I'm too close to 35, just a little over 5 months." "So what? You're talking about $150 a year difference in pension." Callahan didn't understand. Guys like Callahan could never understand. "But it's 34, not 35. Don't you see, sir? What will I say when someone asks me, how come I put in 34 and not 35? "We could fire you, Grady," Callahan said. "We're being considerate." Grady said nothing. The vodka stood between him and Callahan like a wall. Yet there was something ominous that he could almost feel. A hint of a smile on Iron Balls' face. Click, click. He had something in reserve. "The 5-3, Callahan said, "is all that's available." It almost took the wall down. But then Grady was a lake again, because he realized instantly that the only alternative now was to retire. The 5-3. That wasn't the 5-3. It was Fort Siberia. It was places, precincts like the 5-3, that cops dreaded being sent to. Actually, you weren't sent. You were sentenced. And at any given time, there was always a Fort Siberia. In the 50s and 60s, there was Fort Apache. Before that, there was Staten Island. There was a precinct in Harlem, one in Bed-Stuy. It was punishment duty, except for cops who had the misfortune to be assigned there after the academy. It was for misfits. Alcoholics who couldn't be helped. Homos. Psychotics. Grass eaters. Drug users. Malcontents. Thieves who couldn't be nailed. Wheeler dealers. Cops who messed with the wrong people, and old cops who should retire but who wouldn't, and, like old Indians, were put out on the plain to die. Grady had seen paper on it many times. It was in the Fordham Road section of the Bronx, well over 80% black and Spanish, and it was funny to talk about. "South of Fordham Road," a cop had said to Grady once, "they called Death Valley. When you go there in July on a 4-12, there's only one acceptable mode of travel, armored personnel carrier.